I've personally been blessed by the series for my studies part. I know that some of you are probably saying, when are you going to be done with this? But every one of these truths are very important in our life. And today we're talking about I believe in the church. And maybe we can have a little fun at the very beginning here, because there's a story that I've always loved, I've always appreciated. Every time I read it, I have to laugh. But you may find it funny, you may not find it funny, but that's okay, you know. But it concerns a woman who had been making some reservations at a campground, and she was very concerned about this campground having the adequate facilities. And so she wrote a letter to the campground, and she didn't know quite how to express herself, but she wanted to know about the toilet facilities. And she didn't want to use that word for fear it might offend somebody, so she thought about, well, maybe I'll just say, do you have the adequate bathroom commodes? And she thought, well, that isn't going to work either. She says, does your campground have its own BC? And when they received the letter, you know, he couldn't understand. What do you mean, do we have our own BC? You know, he just couldn't quite understand what she was trying to say. And so he wrote back, after having concluded that she meant the Baptist church, does your campground have its own Baptist church? And this is what he wrote. Dear Madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but now I take the pleasure of informing you that the BC is located 6 miles north of the campground. It is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I will admit that it's quite a distance away if you're in the habit of going regularly. No doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches and make a day of it. The last time my wife and I went was 6 months ago. It was so crowded that we had to stand up the whole time. Right now there's a supper plan to raise money for more seats. It will be held in the basement of the BC. I would like to take the pain. I would like to say that it pains me that I may not be able to go more regularly, but it's not for my lack of desire on my part. As we grow older, it seems to be more of an effort, especially in cold weather. If you decide to come to our campground, perhaps I could go with you for the first time that you go, sit with you, and introduce you to all the other folks. Remember, this is a very friendly community, the campground. Well, anyway, I know I've seen one-holers, I've seen two-holers. My grandpa had a three-holer. Anybody ever seen a three-holer? You know, it was at a train depot. And I'm not certain about being one of the individuals that sat in the middle, but anyway, we're talking about the church this morning, okay? You know, I've heard, I had a lot of people say, and maybe you've heard them say as well, well, I love Jesus, but I just don't care for the church. Or I believe in God, I just don't believe in the church. Well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. You know, Jesus was not religious either, and that's the reason why I don't go to church, because he condemned religiosity. And I don't believe in the church because I believe that we need to make our own way. I don't need the church telling me what to believe or how to behave. And here's the problem, because we find that in the creed it says, I believe in the Holy, the traditional says, Holy Catholic Church that we'll look at here. And it simply is an affirmation of these disciples who are saying, I believe in this thing called the church. Now here's the problem that we have. How many of you remember this when you're younger? You know, here's the church and here's the steeple. You open the door and here's the people. And the thing that we've oftentimes heard is the problem with the church is the people. You know, and I have to admit that sometimes we're divisive, and sometimes we have strife, and sometimes we have disagreements, and sometimes we don't always see eye to eye, and sometimes the church seems a whole lot like Noah's Ark. You know, how many of you heard the ditty, you know, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory, but to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's a different story, you know? And so we stop and we think about this, that, well, people, yeah, we're frail human beings. We've got sin in our heart, and we're dealing with the flesh, as we always did. So the problem of the church is the people, but you know what? If the problem of the church is the people, The people are also the hope of the church. And the people are the blessing of the church. And God has called each and every one of us to come together as people, as frail people, and to lean upon His grace and to make up this body that we actually call the church. And so today we come and we say very simply, I believe, and the traditional phrase is Holy Catholic Church. And somebody's been raised with a Catholic background or saying, hey, I told you we should be Catholics. But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about the Holy Catholic Church. There's the Roman Catholic Church with capital R and capital C, but we also know that there is the Catholic Church with the small c, and in the way of this language being written, in this time in which it was written back in the earlier, 120 BC, AD or thereabouts, Catholic meant universal or Christian. And so when we talk about, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the Holy Catholic Church, the Holy Universal Church, we're saying that we are part of this church body. And there are those of us here in America, there are those of us in Africa, there are those of us in Europe, there are those of us in Asia, and we're all part of this beautiful body called the Church of Jesus Christ. I like what John says. He says, there's a great multitude which no one could number of all nations and of all tribes and of all people and of all language groups. Red and yellow, black and white, when you will profess faith in Jesus Christ, we become a part of this beautiful body called the Church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says, or the creed says, I believe in the communion of saints. Did you know that you were a saint? Why don't you turn to someone this morning and say, hey, did you know you were a saint? You know, we got Saint Anita and Saint John and Saint Judy and Saint Kevin. All you are saints. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. So also jab somebody in the side and says, you're a saint, but you're not perfect. Because we're not. We're frail and we're human. We're faulty. We have our problems. But when I look at the Word of God, this is what it says. Paul wrote to the church of Rome, he wrote to the church of Philippi, he wrote to the church of Ephesus, he wrote to the church of Colossae. He says, to the saints of God. And so he sees us as people who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have named the name of Jesus Christ, and we are saints or we're believers in the person of Jesus Christ by faith. So we have this communion of saints, and not only are we a communion of saints here on earth, but we're also a communion of saints who have gone on to heaven. So we have the church triumphant, and we have the church militant. But we are a saint together with all the saints who have gone on before because we're believers in Jesus Christ. Now he says, I believe in the Holy Catholic, Holy Universal, Holy Christian Church. And so when we come to the word church, we find that the word church means belonging to the Lord. And actually, you talk about the German word, which I will not attempt to pronounce, but the word church comes from the German word. But originally, the original word means belonging to the Lord. And over 80 times in the New Testament, we find that it's called the ecclesia or the called out assembly. And so everyone who's been called out to Jesus Christ are part of this body called the Church of Jesus Christ. And here I think about Peter's affirmation when Jesus said to the disciples one day, who do men say that I am? And then he made it more personal. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said very simply, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded by saying, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Again, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And so again, we go back to this ecclesia. Whose church is it? It's not my church. It's not your church. It doesn't belong to the denomination. It doesn't belong to the community. This church body is a people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And together we make up the church, the called out ones who come together to worship and to praise and to celebrate who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were nobody, but God has made us somebody. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people in Him. Now, as we think about the church, there are several different metaphors I want us to look at this morning. I want to look at two of them, but in the scriptures, you'll find that we have many. One is we're a body. Jesus Christ is the head, and we're the body. We're the hands, the feet, the eyes and ears, the mouth of Jesus in this world. And so we've been characterized as a body. We're a fellowship. We're all the same people on the same ship, as someone once said, but we're all fellowshipping together. We are a bond of an assembly. We are a flock or a herd, as you might say it. Jesus is the great and good shepherd, and we are the sheep of the pasture. He's the leader of it all, and we're also the bride. Did you know that? You're a bride of Christ. And the Bible says that he is preparing us to be a bride without spot and wrinkle in our wedding garments. And one day we will be joined together with Christ in heaven at the great wedding ceremony of the Lamb. But there's two metaphors I want us to focus in on this morning. And that is that we are a family. We are a family. And when you go to the Word of God, you read in Galatians, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. 1 Peter says, and now this word to all of you, you should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy towards each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. And so we're a family. We're brothers and sisters in the faith who come together. And when you explore these things called the one another statements in the scriptures, you'll find that we're to love one another, comfort one another, strengthen one another, equip one another, lean on one another. We're to be there for one another through the good times and the bad times. We are family. You know, this past spring, I got sucked into watching the induction ceremony for the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wanted to see specifically Marvin Harrison's speech and Tony Dungy's speech. Those are the ones I was concerned about. Brett Favre was also being inducted, but he was the very last one. And so I tuned in and I watched Marvin Harrison's acceptance speech. And, you know, many of these who were being inducted, they talked about their lives and how they had to undergo maybe difficult circumstances. And maybe they had a single mother and they had to go through all these difficult times of their life. But because of the encouragement of a mother or of a family member or of a coach, whatever it might have been, they were able to come together and they became the person that was now being inducted into this Hall of Fame where they're memorialized and legacized forever. So here you had Marvin Harrison share, and then I wanted to really hear Tony Dungy's, and so I flipped away the channel because I really wasn't too interested in the in-between ones, but then I flipped back, and Tony Dungy shared his tremendous testimony. Anybody see it? Anybody hear it? Anybody hear it? I'm the only one? One person? Tremendous speech, tremendous testimony. Tony Dungy is a man of God. And he didn't just say why he was there for football reasons. He mentioned the purpose that he had in God. And so this tremendous testimony that he shared. But as I was watching those flipping back and forth, I accidentally tuned in to, because I was the only one to watch those two, Edward DiBartolo's speech. And he was the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. And as I listened to his acceptance speech, I was absolutely blown away by some concepts that he was sharing. And what he said during that speech was simply this, I'll boil it all down. He was saying that we are a family. And we are a family who cares for one another and loves one another and supports one another. And we're a family not just on Sunday, but we're a family on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And he went on and spoke about the fact of how the 49ers were like a family and the players on that team were like brothers in the faith. And I thought, wow, that's church. That's church. Not that the football game on Sunday afternoon is the arena that we all go to worship. For some it is, but we are the church of Jesus Christ. And we are family because we love one another. We care for one another. When one's down, we're there to weep with them. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. But we are family who pull together. And we don't run around and, you know, talk about one another and run each other into the mud. We're there to build each other up and lift each other up and equip each other to become transformed in the faith of Jesus Christ. And here's the tragedy sometimes I see in our church world today, as I even introduced this morning. And it's this, Paul writing in the book of Hebrews says, whatever you do, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some. Picture, if you will, you're on an African Serengeti landscape here, and the camera pans in and you see all these little heat waves. You know, when you're in the Africa, you see all these little heat waves rising up. And the camera pans across to this herd of wildebeest who are out there grazing and grunting, and they're eating and they're trying to find some more water holes. And as they're grazing away, you know, they start talking about these wildebeest. They start talking about how it is that they're, you know, gathered together and they're looking for a water hole. But you know, the show is not, you know, as it's been shown on Discovery Natural Geographic, it's not about the wildebeest. It's about lions. And so here they are, these wildebeest are grazing and they're moving along amongst the grass, and they pan over here to the side, and there in the tall African grass, you see four ears that are poked up above the grass. And there are two female lions that are lying there in wait. You know, you can see their tails flick around as they swat the flies off their backside, but they're lying there waiting, waiting. And then the inevitable happens. And one of these wildebeests begins to stray from the herd. They begin to wander away. I don't know why they're wandering away. Maybe because they're finding some sweeter grass. Maybe they're looking, you know, maybe they smell something. Maybe they're injured. I don't know, but they begin to wander in this direction. And these lions, these two female lions, as they sit there waiting and watching, finally make their move. And they move between the herd of wildebeest, and they move between the herd of wildebeest and this one lone wildebeest who did not know he was actually, you know, being distanced from the herd. And as he distances himself, these two female lions move in for the kill. And this poor wildebeest becomes their afternoon dinner. And as I think about that, I think about how it is that sometimes in the life of the church, you know, my heart breaks when I think about this and how sometimes we take it so much for granted. We're like this one wildebeest. We're here together as a family or as a flock or as a herd. And one of us begins to wander away. Maybe we're preoccupied. Maybe we're busy. Maybe we're distracted. I don't know what the situation might be, but we begin to wander away from the herd and we don't see what's happening. And then we turn around and we find ourselves confronted with the adversary, who the Bible describes as a lion prowling around seeking whom he can devour. And we turn around and all of a sudden there's that lion right there behind us, ready to wreak havoc upon our life and bring destruction. And Paul says very simply, don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some have gotten into the habit of doing. Come together in the worship and come together in the church because we need one another to lean upon and trust and pray and equip and transform and walk with one another. Don't neglect it. And then, secondly, we find that the church is a little bit like an outpost. And this sort of comes to my mind because of, I don't know, we've been talking about Philippians on Wednesday night. And, you know, I've mentioned this in somewhat, but the church is like a family. But the church is like an outpost or an embassy. And Paul says in the book of Corinthians, he says, we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So what's an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of another country. And so in the Word of God, if you look in the book of Peter, for instance, you'll find that we are citizens, Hebrews as well, we are citizens of heaven, but we're also citizens of this earth. We have dual citizenship. We belong to heaven, but we belong to earth. But on the other hand, we are citizens of heaven who have come to this earth as ambassadors in this outpost who are to represent the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. We are ambassadors for Christ, Paul says, and we make our appeal to the world as he makes it through us. We speak on behalf of God. One of my favorite shows when I was younger, and I still is Hogan's Heroes. How many remember Hogan's Heroes? Are you a fan of Hogan's Heroes? I love that show. You got Colonel Hogan and Colonel Klink, the bumbling colonel, who's no prisoner has ever escaped from Stalag 13. And then I like Sergeant Schultz, you know. I see nothing, and a lot of times that's what we say, and I see nothing. And we bury our hands against all the evil that's happening. But here we have it. We have this real-life situation that's actually being put into a television series. And I stop and think about that. Colonel Hogan and his men spent more time outside the walls than they did inside the walls, conducting acts of sabotage, you know, blowing up railroad lines, factories, conducting bombing runs. I mean, here's Colonel Klink, unbeknownst to himself, and inside he's got the person who's actually, you know, diminishing the advancement of the German army. So here is a television series. But then I think about how it is really a true story because we go back to Nazi Germany. And I think about what C.S. Lewis says in regards to our lives. He says, this is enemy-occupied territory. And that is what the world is. And he says, Christianity is a story of how the rightful king has landed, and you might say landed in disguise, and he's calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. We are ambassadors who have come into this world to take back those who have been bound in chains of sin, to take back those who are bound by darkness and bring them into light. And I don't want to bring this up and rehearse it over and over again, but I can't get it out of my mind. Because when I go back and I think about the situation of Colonel Hogan, and I think about Nazi Germany, Now think about how the institutional church threw their hat in the ring with Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. You know, they said, yep, you're right. They threw their hat in the ring. And people of the confessing church movement like Martin Niemöller, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, no, no. And many people have described them as an enclave of heaven in the middle of hell. Friends, we are an enclave of heaven in the middle of hell, so to say. We live in a world of sin and a world of darkness, and we are called to reclaim this world and preach the crown rights of Jesus Christ and to bring this world back to its Redeemer, back to its Creator. Go back to that statement that Jesus made. He says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And oftentimes all we have the idea here is that this church is a safe zone, and it is a safe zone. But we're not a safe zone. We don't come in here and hunker down. We are also a sent out people. We're a called in assembly, but we're sent out into the world to incarnate and enflesh Jesus Christ and to live the message of Jesus Christ and continue the work of Jesus Christ and to liberate those who are oppressed and to cause those who are blind to see, to win a lost world to Jesus Christ. That's who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not meant to hunker down. We're to go out and press back evil and press back injustice and press back oppression, press back sin and reclaim it and stake our flag and say, this planet belongs to Jesus. Because why? He sits upon that throne. He is Lord of all, as we looked at several weeks ago. And I know that some of us may have trouble with that aspect, but it's true. Jesus sits upon the throne. He's in control, and this world does indeed belong to Him. And so when it comes down to brass tacks, you know what? I do believe in the church. I do believe in the church. Even with all of its frailties, even with all of its, you know, problems, I believe in the church. Why? Because it's a believed, ransomed, redeemed children of God. Every one of us are on a journey. We're under the blood. We've been redeemed. We've been blood-bought. We come into this place to celebrate and worship. We come into this place to equip each other. We come into this place to be transformed in our spirit, to become more like Jesus. We come into this place to love one another, pray for one another, seek one another, you know, lift up one another, encourage one another, walk with one another, not only on Sunday, but even as those 49ers under DiBartolo, every day of the week. That's the good news of the body of Christ. You would be surprised, you know, when someone's going through a tough time on Tuesday to know that if somebody else has called them and say, you know what, I'm praying for you, how I've heard many times people say, it so blessed me to know that I received that card, that they received that call, that I received that prayer, that someone was thinking about me. I believe in the church. And in the end of it all, what we find is simply this. You know, we are a better people when we're actually a part of the church. And the church is a better place when we are a part of this body called the Church of Jesus Christ, Ecclesia, or the called out assembly of God. I believe in the church. I believe in the Holy Universal Church. Today we gather together with people everywhere to say, God, I want to thank you for redeeming me and not making me a brother and a sister in Christ wherever it might be around the globe. Father, we come today and we want to thank you and we want to praise you for who you are. Lord Jesus, we may have heard this before, but Lord, we just need to hear it again that we are a family. And Father, I pray that our heart breaks when we find others drifting away, when we find others just sort of moving away from the flock. Lord, it's all of our responsibility to be able to say, hey, you know what? We care for one another and we love one another. Lord, we're praying. We're seeking to be transformed. Lord Jesus, I pray, pour out your Spirit upon us. Transform us, renew us, equip us, and make us. And help us to be your presence in the midst of this watching world. Help us to know that we not only come together into this place, but when we leave this morning, we're going with the good news that sets people free. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming us in Christ's name. Amen.